Well, I get to preach for preaching conference. This is exciting. Very exciting. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm 27. Sometimes Brother Raritan and I were talking last night, and he was saying, a lot of times the messages come together from devotions, things that God has been giving you in your time with God. And we started chuckling about some of those things. You say, I know, boy, the Lord might step on our toes, and misery loves company. And so I want the church to experience this. Sometimes God encourages our heart, and you say, well, I want the church to enjoy this as well. And sometimes it's a topic that you're enjoying, just a study, a deeper understanding of something that's so precious, and you're like, I wanna share this. Tonight I just wanna preach on the idea of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Here in Psalm chapter 27, verses 11 through 14, the Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me. Boy, that reminds us of today, doesn't it? People lying, somebody trying to do right things, good things for God, and somebody rising up and telling lies. And such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, he says in verse 13. But what happens when you faint? Well, for us, we think of you don't have the strength to stand anymore. You fall over. I had fainted. I wouldn't have made it. I would have collapsed. I had fainted. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Boy, the eyes of faith. I would have fallen over. I would have collapsed unless it had been that I could believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, on a bright, sunny day, it lifts your spirits when you see the sun out there. But even when the clouds are out there, Grandpa Moody and I were talking about this, the sun is still there behind those clouds. You might not be able to see it, but that warmth is keeping you alive. Can you feel that warmth even though you can't see the sun behind those clouds sometimes? Even at nighttime, when the sun is on the other side of the world, still that warmth keeps us alive, doesn't it? Held in by our Creator's masterful design, the way the warmth wraps around our globe. Even when you can't see it, and you know that warmth from Almighty God, I was thinking as they played, that joyful, joyful, and hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Isn't it fun when the sun comes out and a flower will open right up for that warmth? And that's how it's supposed to be when the warmth of Almighty God comes. And it's so exciting when some of those hearts will unfold like flowers before him at the preaching of his word, at the moving of his spirit. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And while you're waiting on the Lord, be of good courage. Find encouragement in him. If you'll learn how to wait on the Lord and find your encouragement in him, he makes a promise. He makes a promise. What does he say? And he shall strengthen thine heart. Well, what a blessing. Tonight we want to learn how to wait on the Lord and find our encouragement in him and say, oh God, you've never failed to keep a promise yet. Please strengthen my heart. And then one last time at the end of that verse, he says, wait, I say, on the Lord. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Let's pray. Oh God, we come to you and I just ask, Lord, that you'd allow these thoughts, Lord, to help me and help these folks that are here, Lord. Without you, we have nothing. May it be, Lord, that as your word is preached and the warmth of your word shines forth, that our hearts would unfold and would open. Lord, away with anything that is displeasing to you. And may it be the one thing we pursue after is only that which you have for us tonight. Meet with us, oh God. I thank you for meeting with us already. I ask that you'd allow these thoughts to go forth. Work in hearts. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We don't like to wait. I am not that much of an amusement park person. And I'm not going to be the one that puts together a group. Hey, I'm going to an amusement park. Who's with me? Now, if somebody else says it, I might jump in with that group, and it's the group. I'll say, I'll go somewhere with you guys. I like you guys. But it's not the amusement park that's going to draw me there. And yes, part of it is, you know, my body, you know, the twisting and the spinning and the contorting, you know. And it seems like you wait in line forever, and then it feels like 3 seconds of excited screaming or non-excited screaming. And then you're back in line under the hot sun with a new sensation of queasiness to wait for the next opportunity. Back to waiting. Boy, and then how many marriages have almost broken apart after church as the husband waits in the car? Boy, the sanity of the man about unravels. Takes most of his strength to hold things together. What could she possibly be talking about? We don't like to wait. Let me give you a few things. Waiting is not, by the way, waiting is not worrying. Waiting is not worrying. Boy, many of us have that covered already. They say, look before you leap. You go, I got that covered. I think about leaping, and then I think of all the problems, and I don't leap. So I just wait right here and worry about all the things that could go wrong, so I don't take any steps forward. That's not what waiting is. Waiting is not worrying. Waiting is not waiting to do what God wants you to do. Think of Lot there in Genesis 19. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. Hurry up, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, waiting on God is not lingering. When God lays something on your heart, get to it right away. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful. Boy, God dragged him away from destruction. But don't presume upon God's mercy. How many times have we been set on something that's not right, and God has taken us by the wrist and pulled us away from that, maybe using the hands of wonderful parents that pull us back from something. But don't presume upon that mercy. The Lord being merciful, he lingered. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. Waiting is not worrying. Waiting is not waiting to do what God wants. Waiting is not really even working, just being busy. Blending of those things, that Mary and Martha, boy, to blend that time at Jesus' feet and serving, but not just serving and forgetting why we serve, like the church of Ephesus that had lost its first love. I believe that learning to wait on the Lord is so important, but it's so hard. It can be so hard. It's a skill that I'm learning, and I suspect I'll be learning for the rest of my life. I want to talk about three things. The imperative of waiting on God. It's an absolute must, and I'll show that to you tonight. And then some instructions on waiting on God, some how-tos. What does it mean to wait on God? What are some exercises that I must be about to deepen my understanding of what that means? And then finally, some importance of waiting on God. What are some of the blessings that we enjoy when we learn how to wait on God? So first of all, the imperative of waiting on God. It's a must. What does it say there in Psalm 27, 14, where you are? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Boy, we want to run out ahead of God and then make wrong decisions. Boy, we need to learn to wait. Wait until we know what God wants. And then step forth with boldness and with courage. I remember years ago, Pastor Parrish. You know, I'm a bit taller than him. And he would point out how unbiblical the tall people were in the Bible. You know, the giants that were the problem in the land and different things like that. And boy, do you remember when you first read about King Saul? It seemed like he started out so well. Even Samuel said, do you remember when you were little in your own eyes? You used to be humble, but something changed. We see a passage that just breaks your heart. He couldn't wait on God. He couldn't wait. There in 1 Samuel 13, verses 8 through 14. 1 Samuel 13, go ahead and turn there. 1 Samuel 13. So full of potential. But he didn't learn how to wait on God. 1 Samuel 13, verse 8 there, it says, he tarried 7 days. He waited. He couldn't stand it. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, essentially, I'm done waiting. I'm tired of waiting. Verse 9. Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass as soon as, if he had just waited a little longer, as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him. I suspect there was some guilt. Like, oh, there he is. Oh. Heads right out to where he heads out to meet him and might salute him. And you can see Samuel coming and looking around and Saul, hey, you made it. And there's Samuel looking. What happened? What do I see back there? Verse 11, Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me and thou camest not. Really, it's kind of your fault. I couldn't obey you. You weren't here in time. Thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. I saw the people get antsy. I saw the enemy gathering. And I acted in disobedience. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, no doubt with a broken heart, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. God would have established you. Oh, what God would have been able to do if you would have just waited. Oh, what God would have been able to do. And so many pastors sorrowfully talking to people that refuse to wait on God. You chose to disobey. Yes, God is merciful. Yes, we can get back to sowing in righteousness and we can reap some mercy. God is good, but some blessings go away, never to be retrieved. But now, would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever? But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Young people, can I just tell you, slow down. Slow down. The world tells you, you got to have a bunch of money in the bank just as soon as possible. No, you don't. You need to have that really good paying job. Why? You need to jump into business school so you can be a powerful business person as quickly as possible. Remember the millionaire by 30. Who says? You're backward. If you don't have a girlfriend and you're talking marriage by the age of 12. The devil wants you moving so fast you're not thinking. Slow down. Take time to learn to wait on God. Grown up, slow down. It takes spiritual discipline to be still and know that he is God. Psalm 46:10. Learn to move at God's pace. Not quicker, not slower. Move at God's pace. There's an illustration of a story told of Alexander the Great. He and his soldiers were marching toward a river. And this wise man barred his path. And so one of Alexander the Great's men walked up and said, so who are you to stand in the way of Alexander the Great? This man has essentially conquered the world. What have you done? And the man said, well, I've conquered the need to conquer the world. Some would say that Alexander the Great's unbridled passion was his undoing. What about you? Can you be content to learn to wait on the one who made the world? And for whom all things exist, including you? Young people, pray things through. Pray with your pastor. Talk to your parents. Don't hide things from them. Adults, pray things through. Pray. Search the scripture. Seek wise counsel before you've made up your mind. By the time you talk to that counsel, you've already set your heart to a thing. And I believe often it's because you fear that wise counsel may not tell you what you want to hear. Yeah. trust the Lord. The devil wants us to be antsy. I think it's pretty amazing how in Job chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, you don't have to turn there unless you'd like to, Job 1, 8 through 10, and the Lord said unto Satan, so the Lord says to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? And basically, the devil says, I don't blame him. You're so good to him. What an odd conversation. The devil says, you're so good to him. I want to destroy him, and I can't because you've hedged him about. You're so good to him. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. He says, God, I don't blame him. He's so good. But then when the devil talks to us, does he tell us how good God is? Something about his speech changes, doesn't it? There he came to Eve. And he said, oh, you can't trust him. He's afraid. I mean, he's keeping things from you. He knows that if you go ahead and partake of this fruit, you'll be as gods. And he's scared to death that you'll know that fulfillment. Oh, he's keeping things from you. That FOMO, fear of missing out. You keep following God, there's all sorts of things you'll never enjoy. He's a liar. Psalm 84, 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Christian, does the devil know and recognize God's goodness better than you do? It's imperative that we learn to wait on God. Then some instructions for waiting. How is spiritual waiting done? I'm going to give you three things here. Supplication, saturation, and service. Supplication, first of all, waiting on God, there's lots of prayer. Lots of prayer. And I'm talking real prayer. Not the kind where you close your eyes before you eat and then you open them and start eating and you say, did I say anything? Did I talk to God or just close my eyes and pause for a moment and start into my food? Real prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He inclined unto me. He inclined. Why did he incline unto me? I waited patiently. Well, part of waiting patiently, and he inclined unto me. The last part, and heard my cry. Heard my cry. Supplication. Micah chapter 7, verse 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And how can he hear us if we aren't crying out? Waiting on God involves supplication. We love that passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Unfortunately, we don't want him directing our paths. I want to direct my own path. This week is about getting back to appreciating the fact that Almighty God, we're offended that God would presume to direct my paths. How arrogant are we? Instead of being grateful that Almighty God cares enough to promise that he would direct my paths. if I will just trust him and acknowledge him, thou wilt show me the path of life, the Bible says in Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Why are you afraid of him directing your paths? I'm afraid it won't be happy. God says there's no happier place. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God is not a liar. Amen. Supplication. And God says there in Matthew 6, after this manner, therefore pray ye. When you pray, take some time. Our Father. We want to rush through our times of prayer so we can get to the important part of our day, right? Rush through that time with God so we can get to the important part of our day. That's the problem. Slow down. Our Father. Won't you get lost in the person of your Heavenly Father, which art in heaven? Won't you take a little bit of time to get lost in the place you're going because of your Heavenly Father? Hallowed be thy name. Won't you take some time to get lost in the purity of your Heavenly Father? Thy kingdom come. Won't you take some time to get lost in the purposes of your Heavenly Father? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Won't you take a little bit of time and get lost in the plans of your Heavenly Father? Give us this day our daily bread. Won't you take some time and get lost in the provision of your Heavenly Father? Forgive us our debts as we forgive. Jesus died so I could know forgiveness. Won't you take some time and get lost in the pardon of your Heavenly Father? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Won't you take some time to get lost in the protection of your Heavenly Father? For thine is the kingdom and the power. Won't you take some time to get lost in the power of your Heavenly Father? My dad can beat up your dad. John 8:44, right? You're of your father the devil. My dad's bigger. Thine be the power and the glory. Won't you take some time and get lost in the praise that your Heavenly Father deserves? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Supplication. Secondly, saturation. We got to get into the book. Really get into the book. The Bible says in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Is this a textbook or is it a love letter? Can we find some places where there are some tears on these pages? Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in thy truth. Lead me in thy truth. How does he do that? Right here. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. On thee do I wait all the day. What did Spurgeon say? A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. So many living life according to how they feel about God's word than what it actually says. Pastor Love talked about this morning. My truth. And we see a lot of that. Young people that set their eyes on the world and then fall in love with some aspect of it. And you go to them and they say, well, I'm just trying to find out for myself what I believe. You don't form an addiction for sin and then find someone on social media that will back you up by twisting some scripture verse? Slow down and let God speak through his word. What's the rush? Boy, as you're going through, stop. It's not a race. Maybe you listen to your Bible on the phone. Get your hand ready for that pause button. Tap it. Oh, God. I've been there where I'm looking at how many seconds left. I have things to do. Instead, your brain starts to wander. Nope, I'm going back. It's unacceptable. This is precious. And don't forget this. Don't do all your reading electronically. Get out the book. Mark it up. Some precious places. What did it say? In his word do I hope. There in Lamentations 3, verses 24 through 26, it says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him. Reminds us of Hebrews 11, doesn't it? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. As the world is falling apart around us, can you take this? Oh God, I love you. And until you call me home, I'll be faithful. But this world is not my home. I'm passing through. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The lasting service. Now, waiting doesn't mean sitting around. You think of that waitress, right? How odd would it be if she comes over and says, I'll get to the edge here. If the waitress comes over and says, can I take your order? And you say, not just yet. And she's, okay, well, I'll sit next to you and stare at you until you're ready. No, she's going to top off a drink. She's going to straighten things over here. She's going to bring some bread. She's going to be taking care of all of the general things of looking after the customer until the customer's ready to give the specific of his order. Are you doing all the things you know to do until he's ready to give you specifics? Service. Hosea chapter 12, verse 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment. Be faithful, be just, and wait on the Lord continually. Keep mercy and justice while you're waiting on the Lord continually. I think Noah is a good example of somebody who was able to quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord doesn't mean you're not moving. There in Hebrews 11, we have the hall of faith. Those men that moved because faith moved them. The salvation of the Lord. Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Keeping mercy and judgment as we wait on the Lord continually. So there are some instructions, and I close with the importance of waiting. Obviously, when you wait on the Lord, you step into His presence. That's the primary blessing, that closeness of Almighty God. But there's other blessings that come as you wait on God. There's power from God that we find from waiting on Him. There's provision from God, protection from God, patience we learn as we wait. And we align ourselves with providence. Of course, your minds probably have already gone there, huh? Probably one of the classic verses on waiting on God, Isaiah 40, 31. We find power in waiting. Power from on high isn't just nice to have. It's essential if we're going to live this Christian life the way we should. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, there's strength that comes from waiting on God. One of our moms read a devotion a few days ago and shared it with her teenage son, and he shared it with me. I'm like, ooh, that might find its way into my sermon. The devotion used this illustration. The man said, once as I walked along the road on a steep hill, I saw a boy trying to pedal up that steep hill from the bottom. He was pedaling uphill against the wind and obviously working tremendously hard. Just as he was exerting the greatest effort and painfully doing the best he could, a streetcar going the same direction passed by, slow enough for him to grab hold of. And you guessed it, he went up the hill as effortlessly as a bird gliding through the sky. Boy, when you grab hold of God, when you're yoked up with the Lord Jesus, like it talks about there in Matthew 11. Oh, the might of the Lord Jesus. And when you're yoked up with Him, oh, the power that can be done, that can be had. A wonderful illustration, taking hold of power from on high. But by the way, He had to wait for the right timing, didn't He? He had to wait for that trolley car to go by at just the right time. And friend, if you're going to lay hold on God, you have to wait for His timing when He's moving. And you better make sure you're going the same direction. So we say life is hard. Well, it's actually impossible to live the Christian life apart from His strength. Secondly, we secure provision as we look to Him. It says here in Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16, the eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The eyes of all wait. There in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 22, are there any among the vanities? For the Gentiles have their false gods, those vanities. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heaven give showers? Art thou not He, O Lord, our God? Therefore will we wait upon Thee, for Thou hast made all these things. We also find protection as we wait on the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Protection in battle. But also, I think we see protection from bitterness. Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2, and then verse 5. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. If you're looking anywhere but the Lord for salvation, you're going to be disappointment. Disappointment is the source of bitterness and frustration when you're looking in the wrong place. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And then verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Many of the miseries we face in life is because we're looking in the wrong place. Psalm 39, verse 7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? For my hope is in thee. We also learn patience from waiting. How many of us have heard that phrase, right? Don't ever pray for patience. Do not pray for whatever you... We don't have to fear patience, but it is a difficult lesson. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. There in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 and verse 11. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The husbandman sows that seed and then has to wait for the harvest. Waiting. The husbandman learns patience as he waits. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. You too, be ye also patient. Stablish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Boy, on the back of some cars, right? Be the person your dog thinks you are. And you think, boy, my dog is really excited to see me. What kind of a person does he think I am? That'll take some imagination. Well, you know what else would take some imagination? Be the person you will wish you had been that day you stand before God. Things will be so clear then, what really mattered. Take some time and imagine. When things are clear, what kind of a person will I imagine I had been in that moment? And get to it right now. We learn patience through waiting. We also align ourselves with providence, the will of God. We align ourselves with what God is doing. He told us in that model prayer, every day thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You utter it in heaven and angels dash to do your will. May it be that I can be like that. The moment I know your interest in it, may it be that I dash to do your will. I want to be aligned with providence. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Our lives tuned to him instead of asking him to tune himself to us. Can we pray this prayer? Oh God, help me to set aside what's important to me and learn to be in tune with what's on your heart. Help me to love you as I should, so it's what matters to you that matters to me. And oh God, those things that displease you are also displeasing to me. I love you. Help me to please you. I'm looking to you today for the path I am to take and for the power and protection I'll need to walk that path. May it be that the smile on your face is what I live for. Longing each and every day to at last hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Help us, oh God, to learn how to wait on you. Thank you, God, for your precious word. Forgive us, Lord, for not taking advantage of the access in prayer that your son died a horrible death to grant us. Forgive us, oh God, for not saturating ourselves in your word like we should, valuing what this world has to offer instead of the things that truly matter. Oh God, help us to learn to wait on you. I ask these things in Christ's name.